Hello, my name is David Bird, and this talk I would like to address the subject of sleep. This talk is one in a series of presentations on aspects of lifestyle medicine. Just a little about myself. I'm a doctor who works in Melbourne, Australia, with a special interest in lifestyle medicine and in nutritional medicine. So today we're going to be discussing sleep. Let's consider what sleep actually is for a while. It's quite an unusual thing when you think about it. Sleep is different from many other activities we do. The more you try to sleep, the harder it is. Whereas if you want to climb a mountain, willpower is very helpful. Sleep is one of a few activities in life when not worrying about it or trying not to do it can actually help you achieve the real thing. There are many things that can interfere with our sleep. Let's consider some of these. Pain, noise, coughing and other breathing problems, being too hot or too cold, mental stress, itching, movement, too much light, and the list goes on. It's really amazing that any of us actually achieves sound sleep when you think of all the possible things that can interfere with it. In this talk, we want to discuss the art of actually getting the job done. I'm not going to spend much time talking about the different physiological types of sleep, but I'm going to focus on the practicalities of achieving good quality sleep. Sleep deprivation is a modern epidemic in industrialized countries. I remember reading a while ago that in the year 1900, the average amount of hours for adults per night for sleep was 9 hours. Whereas in modern life, the average is down to 7.5, or perhaps even less now, as that was a number of years ago that I read this material. There are many things that make it harder for us to go to bed at a good hour. We have lights, we have entertainment, and above all, we have technological devices. Computers, smartphones, and other technological devices are so attractive, and many people are using them in the evening or in their beds as wind-down time. What they don't realize is that these electronic devices are highly stimulating to the brain and make it harder for you to wind down and close off for a good night's sleep. I like to liken sleep to landing an aeroplane. When landing an aeroplane, you need to come in nice and slowly and gently to the runway. Many people are crash landing their aeroplanes, as it were, into bed at night and expecting to have good quality sleep. We'll discuss later about landing your aeroplane gently. This is called having good sleep culture and refers to the hour or so before bed when we are supposed to be winding down. But first, back to our list of different annoyances that can prevent us from going to sleep. If your sleep is being interfered with by itch, pain, nausea, noise, cough, breathing problems, or some other thing, and you want to improve your quality of sleep, you need to begin by addressing whatever this irritating and annoying thing is. For example, if a cough or breathing problems is affecting your sleep, then this is where you need to start, in seeing a doctor, in getting advice, in taking remedies to alleviate this disturbance. So it's not much use talking about the fine art of landing your aeroplane and turning off your mind at night when you have a lot of pain, breathing problems, or some other very intense, annoying disturbance that is preventing you from going to sleep. In this talk, we do not have time to go into all these different disturbances like pain, cough, temperature problems, and so on, because it's such a large area. We are rather going to focus on the art of sleep itself. So let's discuss the art of sleep. In doing this, I'd like to look at 8 lifestyle principles as they relate to sleep. The first of these lifestyle principles I'm going to call moderation. Moderation refers to not overdoing the things that are good for you and avoiding those things which are bad for you. Can you think of any substances that you might partake of that could interfere with a good night's sleep? To most people's minds, caffeine would come into prominence. Caffeine is a stimulant, and when we take it, particularly late in the day, it can significantly interfere with sleep quality. Another substance that is commonly used by many people to try and relax in the evening and promote good sleep is alcohol. But in my opinion, alcohol is one of the most dangerous substances to use as a sleep aid. The danger is that you will continue this habit and increase this habit and develop alcohol dependence. I have seen this in patients where the alcohol has become so much that the patient has been unable to get up in the morning, unable to work, and their life falls apart. So if you're addicted to alcohol in the evening as a means of going to sleep, I strongly recommend that you go and discuss this problem with your family doctor. In fact, this is one of a few indications, I believe, for the prescribing of sleeping medication to assist in breaking the alcohol habit. Sugar is another substance that can interfere with sleep. The consumption of sugary foods later in the day can produce high sugar levels in the blood, which in turn causes a rapid and high amount of insulin to be injected from the pancreas into the bloodstream. And later in the night, this large amount of insulin can cause the blood sugar to drop to very low levels, so that you wake with sugar cravings or have poor quality sleep due to low blood sugar. Some medications can do similar things, especially in the case of poorly controlled diabetics. Looking at some of the things that we can overdo that are otherwise good that may interfere with sleep, let us consider exercise. This is unlikely to be a major problem for a lot of people, but if you exercise furiously in the evening, for example doing squash, and come home late at night, perhaps at 10:30 or 11, it may take you an hour or two to wind down before you're able to go to sleep. So the answer is to move your strenuous activity to earlier in the day. Overeating is a common activity that interferes with sleep, especially meals that are late and large. So be careful with the amount of food you eat if you're eating late in the night. Let's now move on to our second health principle. I'm going to call this stress relief. There are many activities that people use to relax and to reduce stress. And stress relief particularly relates to good sleep culture. As I've mentioned, sleep culture involves the approximately half an hour to an hour before going to bed, and also it relates to activities that we do in bed. Let's give you an example of someone with poor sleep culture. We'll name our fictitious person Jim. Jim arrives home from work at 7 o'clock carrying a suitcase of business papers for him to complete in the evening. He also has the newspaper, the evening newspaper. He puts these down on the table, picks up a phone, and calls his neighbour to complain about his plum tree, which is producing stains on his driveway, and he has a significant argument with his neighbour. He then puts the phone down and phones for a takeaway delivery to come to his house. While that is on the way, he prepares himself a strong cup of coffee and reads his newspaper. In the newspaper, there is descriptions of terrorist activities, severe economic crises, and other very worrying news that plays on his mind. When his meal arrives, he flicks on the TV and watches the news, which contains similar disturbing reports. After he's watched the news and finished his meal, he sits down to do his business that he brought home from work. At 10 o'clock, he phones his brother, who's in the middle of having a divorce, and has a long and difficult conversation with him. Then Jim has a quick shower, which is about the only relaxing thing he does, jumps into bed, and turns on the television at 10:30 to watch the late night horror movie, which finishes at 11:30. He then turns the TV off and expects to get a good night's sleep. This is poor sleep culture. Now, it may have been necessary for Jim to phone his brother, who is in a very stressful situation, but it would have been good to try and do it earlier in the evening so he had time to wind down. So, looking at good sleep culture, this involves activities that help us to wind down and relax in the evening, particularly the 1 hour or so before bed. Hydrotherapy is quite helpful for many people. This can include having a bath or a shower. This has the advantage of helping you go to bed warm during cool winter months. And on this note, it is good to get into a warm and dry bed. And for this reason, I recommend the use of electric blankets in cool or damp climates. Turn the electric blanket off when you get into bed. Reading is an excellent activity for many people, but do not read in bed. Bed is for sleeping. You need your body to realize that when you get into bed, it is supposed to sleep. I like reading in the evening, but I will sit on my bed or read in the lounge in a relaxing chair rather than read in bed. If it's cold and you want to warm up, then use a heater or something else. But I strongly recommend not reading in bed. And the reading material is important too. Don't read thriller murder stories. Read relaxing material. I like to read stories about travel, explorers, and missionary stories. I'm also very fond of reading scripture, the Holy Bible, in the evening, and find this comforting and relaxing. Some people like using herbal teas before bed, such as chamomile, which help relax your mind. They also have the advantage of helping you warm up if it's cool. Music may be helpful for some people. And other relaxing activities, it may be particularly beneficial to you as a person that you can do before bed in the evening. When you get into bed, it's important that you remember not to turn on the TV or have your device turned on and stimulating you. I recommend a curfew being decided on for the use of the internet and devices in the evening, unless it's an emergency. My curfew time is 8 o'clock. Yes, that might sound early, but I'm planning to go to bed at 9. The reason is that the hours of sleep before midnight are generally worth about double those after midnight as far as quality is concerned. So if you want to get more hours out of your day, the only way to do it is to go to bed early and get up early. For example, if you went to bed at 8 o'clock and slept from 8 till 1 a.m. and then got up, that would be a better night's sleep than if you went to bed at 12 o'clock and got up at 8 o'clock in the morning. So watch your devices, because they can stymie your efforts to land your aeroplane softly in the evening. Another aspect of sleep culture is what we do while in bed to try and to wind down. If you are relaxed, you can just close your eyes and turn on your favourite side. But if your mind is overactive and starts racing, I recommend lying in bed on your back if it's comfortable, and just staring at the ceiling, keeping your eyes open. This tends to put the brakes on the racing activities of the mind. Your eyes will generally get tired of just staring at the ceiling, and your eyelids will become heavy and eventually close involuntarily. But open them again and keep staring until your eyelids become extremely heavy. Then close them. This may take 5 to 20 minutes. Close them and lie on your favourite side and think about the nice things you've been reading, and hopefully your mind will go into sleep mode. So moving on from sleep culture, let us consider another health principle, good quality air. A lot of people basically half suffocate themselves at night by having very stuffy rooms with the windows closed and maybe the door closed as well. The amount of excretory gases exhaled during the night produces a fetid atmosphere in the bedroom, which promotes poor quality sleep and waking feel unrefreshed and sometimes with a headache. So it's important to have good quality air coming into the bedroom at night. If you can't open the window because it's not safe, then I recommend putting burglar bars on the window. If it's too noisy to open the window, then open your bedroom door and have another window, perhaps in a bathroom or somewhere, open to fresh air. Whatever you can, try and get good quality air in your bedchamber. Our fourth principle I'd like to talk about is food and nutrition. Having a light and easily digestible evening meal will assist many people in achieving better sleep quality. Some people suffer from heartburn and indigestion at night because of large or late evening meals. You might even like to try having only two meals a day if you're wanting to lose weight. Have a good breakfast and a good lunch and just a juice or perhaps a piece of fruit in the evening. Some foods can interfere with sleep. I've mentioned sugary foods already. And sometimes meat can be stimulating and keep people awake. This is not nice to talk about, but when animals are butchered and slaughtered, they're in an extreme state of stress. And sometimes these stress hormones can still be present in the meat and stimulate and awaken people's minds when they eat the meat, particularly if it's not well cooked later in the evening. Our fifth principle is sunshine. Sunshine is very important for two hormones that relate to sleep. One of these hormones is a vitamin as well. It's called a vitamin anyway, vitamin D. Vitamin D improves sleep quality when it's in good amounts. And if you're deficient in vitamin D, taking vitamin D in the evening before bed sometimes promotes good quality and better quality sleep. I've found this personally in patients that I have prescribed vitamin D for who were deficient. If you live in a temperate zone where there's not a lot of sunshine in winter time, then you will need to take a vitamin D supplement during winter. This is best taken usually at night. Melatonin is the other hormone that is stimulated by sunshine and that promotes good quality sleep. We can improve our melatonin levels by going outside in the sunshine, and particularly by closing our eyes and looking in the direction of the sun for a few minutes. This brightness, this bright light stimulation on our retinas stimulates the production and storage of melatonin in the pineal gland in the brain, which is then released in response to darkness. So it's important for melatonin release to have your room dark when you are trying to sleep at night. If you need a night light, make it as dim as you can to help with the release of melatonin. Our next principle is water. Being dehydrated is not going to assist in good quality sleep. Neither is being overhydrated, because this results in many trips to the bathroom. Which reminds me, if you've got a problem with your bladder or prostate that's making you get up every hour or two at night, then this needs first addressing before going on to look at things that promote good sleep. So watch the amount of water you drink, particularly later in the day. Don't let it be too little or too much. Our seventh principle is exercise. And this reminds me of a famous Bible text. In the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, chapter 5 and verse 12, the wise man says, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of a rich will not suffer him to sleep." So the sleep of a laboring man, an exercising man, an exercising person is sweet. Physical activity definitely promotes good sleep quality. Going to bed with tired muscles helps us get into a relaxed mode and feel like our bed is indeed a sweet place to be. So if you're having problems with your sleep, I highly recommend increasing your physical activity wherever possible. The other half of this Bible verse is interesting too. The abundance of a rich will not suffer him to sleep. The more things we have to worry about in life, the harder it can be to switch the mind off. This leads to the principle of simplicity. If you can help promote a simple life and try and reduce the amount of stress that's feeding into your life, it is going to help you to control your mind and your worries in the evening and help promote better quality sleep. Faith, while we're talking about the Bible, faith is another element that promotes good quality sleep. The psalmist in Psalm 4 verse 8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Being able to trust in God promotes good quality sleep. Resting in his care, knowing that he is watching over you, is a comforting thought, and I strongly recommend encouraging your faith and your belief in God, and trying prayer if you've not done so, in order to help promote good quality sleep. Our last health principle is rest. Well, rest is about sleep, but rest also is about vacations and about being careful with your work schedules. When did you last have a proper vacation where you could rest yourself from the daily routines of life? And be careful of deadlines. Deadlines can destroy good quality sleep because of being poorly managed. Don't try and leave everything just before the deadline, otherwise it's going to interfere with your sleep when you are working night and day to get whatever needs to be done done. Before finishing, I'd like to briefly discuss sleeping pills. Is there a place for sleeping medication? Many people are dependent on sleeping medication because it's been prescribed to them by a doctor during a time of stress and need, and they've become hooked on it. I believe that sleeping medication does have a place in emergency situations and in trying to get people off alcohol or other drugs that are used in the evening to go to sleep. But they need very careful monitoring by the doctor and should only be used for the shortest amount of time possible. I recommend, rather than dependence on addictive chemical agents, using natural sleep aids such as herbal preparations, melatonin, magnesium, vitamin D, and other simple remedies or substances that help us relax in the evening. Well, I hope you found a few clues in our little discussion today on sleep that will help you to enjoy having a good night's sleep regularly. And with that, I'll say good night, God bless, and sleep well tonight.